Welcome to the 25 Years of Vampire the Masquerade podcast, a retrospective. You were defeated, left for dead. All is ashes. Your heart stirs, your broken body numbing with the rage of retaliation.
Werewolf the Apocalypse Retaliation, a new board game set in the world of darkness created by the same team behind Vampire the Masquerade chapters. Flyos, imagination leaping ahead. Hey folks, Brennan here. Thanks for tuning in to our 25 Years of Vampire the Masquerade podcast. If you want to reach out or follow us, we're on Facebook and YouTube as 25 Years of Vampire the Masquerade, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch as 25 Years of VTM, and on our website at 25yearsofvtm.com. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/25yearsofvampirethemasquerade. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Welcome everybody to 25 Years VTM, and I, of course, am your host, Bob, accompanied by DJ.
Hola, hola.
And Mike.
What's up, boys?
Gentlemen, we're brought together once again to trudge through the past, present, and future of gaming books that happen to come our way. And this one is, to let everybody know in the beginning, it's Werewolf 5th Edition, so if you'd like to shut this off now, I understand. But don't shut it off because of this podcast. You shut it off because it's Werewolf 5th Edition. And you let that be known. And I say that very strongly because I can't stand on the side of people who are saying there's like an intelligent complaining scheme I am seeing that is a voice lent to someone who was like, we need to change this shit. And I've heard several people give solid argument and complaints to constructive criticism that I really hope a certain company is going, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's a good idea. We're going to correct this because otherwise. I don't know if anybody knows this. I'm not like there's no company propping me up every time I do a recording or release one of these. Just so you know, I don't even get a free fucking book. These people are like, whatever that. That big dude can say whatever he wants him and his friends and move on and blah, blah, blah. And like, I'm going to tell you true. I feel the value of W5 is to the point to where you would have to pay me to review their book if it was given to me for free. That's where I'm at now because we're in a level of, I'm suffering hog loss. Is that what it's called?
Hog loss.
I've lost all my hogs and I'm having a problem winding up my pigs and getting them back so I can have some dinner. That's what this is. But I have to preface it that way because I'm pointing out that I have a bias. I think today I'm going to take the bias review. I'm going to stick to my old guard because all my fees are triggered just looking at this. If you remember me saying, guys, you remember me recording, we went over Werewolf 5th. I said, you know what? I'm going to reserve to see what the next couple of books come out because it's at the tip. You remember me saying it, that typically is how it goes. The next couple of books gives a deeper leeway for the authors to kind of put it all together and let you see what it matters and how this new world looks and how it all works out. And I just felt like I was kicked in the balls this time around. Like I just can't. There's a lot. I could suicide swish slash this book right now, no problem, and just have you two here to go holding me back, and that's it, as I froth at the mouth. But we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that because I feel we should at least tell folks what this book is about. And to do that, gentlemen, I'm going to release this to DJ, who tends to like to run wild with telling us exactly what's in the book. And DJ, what is this Deepest Wounds book?
All right, so this Deepest Wounds book is a scenario that was released during the month of darkness last month. And I'm like, all right, cool. It's a new book that kind of gives a scenario, especially for people that are looking to figure out like how werewolves should kind of feel. We've got a lot of those for vampires. This is our first one with werewolf. And it's a simple splat book that runs about 21 pages that talks about a scenario of your characters, your werewolves, coming across a cairn that is in trouble. And amazingly enough, or maybe not so amazing enough, guess who your antagonists are, folks? Your good old Cult of Fenris.
All right. Ugh. Okay. Sure. Okay. Start on the wrong foot. Might as well stay there for a second. Go ahead.
Okay. I see Mike's going to beat me to the punch. And could be the only one. I'm gonna piece this out, DJ, as we struggle through this. Let's first deal with this point, Mike. You already have a problem. I'm only going to say it because it's literally, was that you too, DJ? Did you feel like, why are they the antagonist?
That was definitely there, but I mean.
Anything else?
Right. It could have been anything. And here's the thing. The story is whatever the author chooses to be, and they want to focus on the new antagonist. Not necessarily the new bad guy, but I guess you could say that, and that's what it is. But they don't. Can't believe I'm saying this, but I think it's too gray. It's too gray. This highlights that Werewolf 5th Edition is really far too. It's far too fucking woke to be enjoyable, according to this reading. It's what it comes down to. I'm going to say that. I don't want my werewolf woke. I want my werewolf defending guy. I want my werewolf destroying the worm. I want my werewolf going, we're the good guys, and we can cross over to be the bad guys, and then we get the shit slapped out of us by our elders for doing that, or they send a pack after us to put us down before we become a problem. What I can't stand is that somehow the Guru Nation can't put down one cult of Fenris. Or Fenrir, sorry. I got to make sure we do that and don't cross that line. Because... And just explain that to me. Even by this scenario, they're like, here's a sept. Here's three bad apples of the sept that run and join the cult of Fenrir. Stop me if I'm wrong, DJ. If I have these three get to come back and sabotage the cairn, and it left me going, are the elders retarded? But who guards this place? Like three bad apples left, and then three bad apples come back. And you don't do anything to vet them, to watch them, to protect, to do anything. It's just like, hey, just come back.
But you're giving them too much credit. You're giving them too much credit. They didn't come back to sabotage the cairn. They came back and were welcomed as former family. Right? They were, knowing that they went off and joined the awful bad murder cult of he who shall not be named. Like, they show back up. And they have a cairn meeting about what to do when they want help for more of their murder cult behavior. Right? It's not like they snuck in.
No,
Go ahead, please, DJ.
Because the scenario also begins because all this has context to it, right? There was a, it's funny because it's three, right? The person that's guarding the front of this thing is a Bonar known as Three Slices. Well, Three Slices goes missing, and you start off with your group like in Three Slices location, and all you find is shit and blood smeared on the wall saying, we back, we're taking our due. You don't think that sounds like a threat at any given moment in time? It's in feces and blood that literally says, we back, we just started recruit, so be ready for us. Oh,
but
and you owe us.
But is it possible that Three Slices being a Bonar just had a bad chili night?
No, it's not, because you get to make a difficulty 2 roll to determine that it's fucking the kid who ran off and Three Slices his blood, right? Mm-hmm. But you can make a roll to determine that the shit belongs to one of the kids who ran off. It's not Three Slices his shit. It's only Three Slices his blood.
I can at least give credit to the fact that I kind of dig the name Three Slices if it stopped there. But what's his full name, fellas?
I don't remember. In my mind, he's Three Slices.
I was Three Slices too. Oh, he's Janos Saros. The Three Slices of Truth.
Huh?
Three Slices
of Truth. I'm a nitpick. My podcast, like a nitpick. That's my nitpick. If he was just called Three Slices, perfect Bonar name. Stop right there. Why is he called Three Slices? His name starts up a conversation. You have to talk to him. Right? That's what I figure it is. It's a charisma trap. Like, now you got to engage with him. And see what's going on. Why they call you Three Slices? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me see something for a second. You got two pieces of bread for me. I don't care if it's moldy. I don't care if it's rye meats. I don't care if it's rye meets meets sourdough. You got some bread? It's like, why? I'm gonna show you why they call me Three Slices. And you're sitting there going, he's a sandwich artist?
Yes.
You're not certain, but what if he is? But then the moment a combat breaks out, Three Slices is quick with a knife.
Right.
Right. He made you a sandwich in conversation, but man, if he was of the worm, man, he left you in all pieces, right? He just, who's that? That's Three Slices. I was like, that'd be a badass thing, but no, he's Three Slices of Truth. Right? And it's like, this is like too many words of dumb. Like, why? Like what truth are you talking about? Which truth you get a piece of, man? That you can't, like, I don't know. I was like, there's a level of cool that's in my head that you have to maintain. And when you just add too much, it just makes shit silly sometimes. So, but we're talking about this book at this point, and even right here, just to this point, they leave, they come back, and Mike's not gonna, I cut to the quick. Mike's gonna give you the sugar with it and tell you, no, this is what they said. Come on back in, and blah, 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 blah. It's like, man, they sabotage, but okay, fine. Come on back in and let us bare throat, because, man, you're not that bad. And this is like flies in the face of the main book saying that we're done being tricked.
Right.
We're done with people taking over camp. We're like, look what the cult of Fenrir did. We're opposing them. Look what they do. And you're aware of it. But here's a scenario where not this little stupid Karen. And it's like, you know, I can't say anything good about it. It's like, okay, the player characters are the only thing good out in this scenario. I don't even know y'all listening, but if you're playing in a scenario, whatever you make is already better than what's there.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
By default of being neutral and not yet having acted within the story, it is automatically better.
It twisted me. Oh, but there's more. Let's jump around a bit. Let's jump to the point of who are our three antagonists?
You got
our three antagonists. Go ahead. Okay, well, their names are, you got a guy named Black Lung, you got his buddy Drog, and one known as the Butterfly Eater.
Now,
and go ahead.
Just help me out. Why the hell are they called that?
Wasn't clear to me. Also, Black Lung has another name that only appears in the back of the book for one reason. Anyway.
Go ahead, call him that.
They call him his other name is like the Black Dragon or something. Which, the
Dark Dragon.
Right, the Dark Dragon, which I was like, oh, is that really? We're taking wormish deed names now? Maybe this is from after he ran off to join the Cult of Fenris. Maybe that's like his hog lost gangster name.
I have no idea. Like I had read it and I said, okay, there should be a story here that explains an in-depth. Here's the thing. They release books about how to make NPCs and storytell and they do all this other stuff. And nothing undermines your credibility than when you read. And by the way, before anybody says and tries to jump in the bandwagon, well, this is new Renegade Studios and the authors they choose. And but yeah, I'm gonna throw a red flag in the play. There's material that came before that's supposed to educate the companies that pick up an IP. Meaning they have to digest what came before to understand the mechanics of what the fan base is looking for, i.e. what you're buying. What you have bought before, you will buy again, and we have to figure out the pattern and make it unique enough to be able to move the line. It's always about moving the line a little bit more to make it a little more interesting, to sell a little bit more. Because you can't ever make a dynamic change that magically changes everything. And maybe that's the whole problem. With whatever Paradox tried to do or whatever else, all these other companies, like, we're trying to make millions off. You're not going to make millions off it. Okay. It's just not going to happen that way. At least not with the method you're going. Before we even jump on that to go in that deep end and just to go, this is the quintessential example of what I had, that if you're an author and you're going to step up to the plate, that you should rely on your team heavily to talk to you about everything you put in a book, because people like us are going to see it. We're going to see it. Your fans are going to see it. Word of mouth is destructive because the internet now fuels that word of mouth. And people research this shit. They see it, bro. And that's what it is. And what I see here is weak. This is weak as hell. This is like something somebody sat in a side and said, I have a weekend to write up a sort of cool scenario I'm going to run next week, which is fine for your home game, because guess what a storyteller does with their home game? Each and every day, they're polishing it around like 3 or 5 players, depending on what they have. Mm-hmm. So every single day, they're adding a little more, or adjusting a little more, or bringing out a new map, detailing this, adding more history to an NPC, found another quirk they want to use, erasing some idea that doesn't work. They are polishing their craft. when you're mass producing for whatever a deadline and that's it, and you didn't go that hard, you didn't at least beat an amateur ST out there before you released a character for them to read that are your antagonists of a launch ship game where you're going to have like, this is the new Fenrir villain. This is what the cult does to one of your own. This is what it's, where is that? Where is that in this scenario to even titillate or hint at all that this is what this cult of Fenrir does?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and to the point of like new villains and refreshed perspectives, I think the part, and this is, you know, part of that issue I had with that other text we read, the part that was made me feel attacked and put me in my fifis, right? You read a particular part of the story and there's an indoctrination process, like a conversion process that they apply to old Three Slices. Mm-hmm. And when the book describes what they're doing to him to try to convert him over to the cause of the cult of Fenris, well, it's all the things from old school that were like motivating to just your regular run-of-the-mill Garu who recognized that we need to do something about what's being done to Gaia, right? And so when I read that, and it made me feel like, oh, okay, so now those of us who believe in the old mission, we're the bad guys. I was like, okay, all right, maybe they're trying to show how the old perspective on things led the Get of Fenris down the wrong path. But the one thing. The part that nailed it for me, that made it really sting, is that the book didn't make it clear to me what the new Garu now believe in to replace that old stuff that used to get them all frothed up and in a frenzy, right? So it's like, not only are the people who have the rage we were asked for in the old game now the bad guys, but the new right-headed leadership of the Garu, at least by the text, hasn't really replaced that with anything. They're just fine with kicking it on the Cairn.
Well, I'm gonna tell you the commander perspective too. That right there is a contentious point because it depends on how you want to see it.
Okay. All right.
Because if you're a cult, you have to understand cults, they do have to indoctrinate. You have to drink the Kool-Aid. The words mm-hmm. are never how a cult gets you. It's the deeds that the cult stands for. That's what gets a cult. So the charismatic leader that's kind of, and you need a cult of personality to lead a cult, that individual is the one whose word, their indoctrinated word, should be just oozing out of everybody you encounter. So when they're trying to bring you in, they're spewing this gospel, but you're not going to get a werewolf devoted to Gaia to do anything against Gaia. That's the insidiousness of the cult of Fenrir, but that's where you cry wolf, right? That's where you're saying like, hang on a second, this is bullshit. We're defending Gaia. We're all doing the same thing. What are you trying to do with this? You're not going to convert me to join your nonsense because you're taking it too far. We know what you're suffering from, this hog loss. You are the one who has the issue seeing it. You're never going to bring us in. And so to me, when I read their indoctrination, it's completely weak. Mm-hmm. It's weak. To me, it's like if NATO decided they're going to capture American soldiers and then bring them in and give them a full course meal, but tie them to the chair so they can't run away and force them to listen to negotiations until America realizes they have to take care of the world and stop warring with people. You know, despite the fact that America's going, wait a second, they got nukes over here. These people are still practicing slavery. These folks committed genocide. This asshole's doing, like, we got intelligence worldwide too. You forget that. We're acting on shit that you don't know because that's why we're number one. And in military actions and shit like that. So, like, fuck off, NATO. And there's a reason, you know what I mean? That's what it's like. Except I use that scenario because that's what it reminded me of. Because the heroes, the those who are still trying to figure out if they're avenging Gaia or if maybe possibly there might be another guy in way around it, are still trying to figure that out, which is part of the gigantic plot hole in Werewolf 5th Edition, is that they leave nobody with a leg to stand on to say what to do other than this. Die well.
Yeah.
It's all about dying well. They should have just said that. Werewolf 5th edition, how do you die? Good and luck. Left it at that. Because when you read it, you know, even in the last one, it left that impression. It said it's all about what you leave in legend. At this point, hopefully your spirit goes to dance with a guy in the land of no one gives a shit. And that's how it goes. But that's why what upset me about this is that I said, okay, so the cult of Fenrir is sitting here and they're still beating a drum saying that we can get guy back. We just got to get more aggressive. That's it. That's your pitch. We lost a game coach and you're bringing us in, having us watch the videos, telling us next time you see this guy here, you block him and this time you catch the ball. Okay. Okay, Mike, you catch the ball next time and we would have won the game.
Right.
And Mike goes, yeah, but I didn't catch the ball because like my leg cramped. It's a literal, it was a bad thing, coach. I fucked up. But that shit happens. It's not all the time. And nobody's at fault. My analogies aside, my whole point is there is no bad guy. That's what frustrated the fuck out of me when I'm reading this Cult of Fenrir, where it's like, except for the actions of them going to like, we're going to convert or die people or not, or like, you know, that right. confusion aspect. It was like, what is this point?
But go ahead, DJ.
I was about to say, one of the things that caught me, I don't know if it was intentional or it was just the way that I read it, was there comes a point where the scenario tells you, you got to either do whatever to three slices, save them or otherwise. But there comes a point where these guys come back, at least Black Lung, and he's literally in the middle of the cairn, siphoning the power of the cairn, sitting there with a cigarette in his hand, which I guess is why they call him Black Lung, because he got that stogie in his mouth, and he's just sitting there, and everyone's just fucking politic. They're just sitting there. And the way that I viewed it is like, well, what's going on? Well, Uncle Jojo's back. Well, why is Uncle Jojo back? You know, he beat up Mom last time. Yeah, but, you know, he fam. We can't really do anything about it. Fuck you mean you can't do anything about it? He's literally attacking the cairn. He's siphoning power, and you letting him do it. And you're all just going to stand there and be like, I ain't going to be the one to raise hand. What? And that makes me wonder, like, are you intentionally writing? This is how people are just like, there is no die well. It's just like, this is what Hirano is. Like, what's going on here? Why isn't anyone doing anything?
But if you remember, siphoning the cairn isn't exactly a crime. If you're welcome back to it and you're using the energy of it, it's like, what are you using that energy for? That's the other shoe. So I can kind of see them not like not going point at him and kill. Because typically players don't touch the cairn. The cairn's not something you would utilize for anything. And if you are, it's for a big thing. Because it's a serious thing to use it for. Except the Werewolf 5th edition, they make a cairn. A cairn's a holy site. That's what it is. It's not a fountain. It's not freeze tag. It's not a base that you're making sure nobody touches. The whole site is holy. Right. And this one is like a 1962. Sinkhole that developed from like some march that happened there. I forget the specifics, but I know that here's what I remember that stuck out in my head about it. They said the cairn in of itself, strangely, the plants are always robust and green that grow out of the cracks and crags, and there's a lot of bugs that come around, and that's cool. And toads are there day or night, always toading, croaking around. And if you go in the Umbra, there's exploding colors of various types floating everywhere. And if you swap one like a cloud, it explodes into colorful fireworks. And that was at that point I said, I hate Werewolf 5th edition. Right? Now, you might say, Bob, why you don't like to use the word hate? There's got to be something. I said, I can't think of anything good in here. What that tells me is that we had a creative brain fart. Why is the Umbra just, oh, it's pretty colors and feelings, but there's no usage. There's no danger. There's no threat. There's no, okay, so this is a nexus and you can cross over here, which is the point of the cairn, which is what I want to tell you guys. And so this dude's walking up and sticking his hand in a cookie jar and pulling out energy and he's siphoning energy for it. Okay, fine. High five. But then look at the spirits that are here. Do you see them big old badass spirits that are here? They were made that are hanging around this cairn?
Yeah.
Like there's one, if you look at it mechanically, how the fuck do you even defeat it? If you attack it, you take ag damage. Like you hit it and you take ag damage and there's another one that heals itself instantly. Each round, it's just healed completely. Ag damage or not, nothing wrong with me. And it can go about screwing your day up and has the ability to do it. And it's like, oh, well, your player's going to figure out how to deal with this. So you don't deal with that. This is what I liked about Werewolf 5th edition. Like, those are the threat. Like, that should be like, we're screwing around in his Nexus. This guy's coming in and just siphoning energy. And old Blacklung should go. If I ran this scenario, Blacklung would go missing an arm at the shoulder. Like you were watching the abyss, right? Where that thing comes up and, you know, Deep Star 6 is what I meant, where it comes up and chomps that suit in half. And they're like, oh, shit. Like everybody watched that film in roll credits.
Yeah.
You ain't killing that. It's come right. And then like the spirit would come through and it does its thing and it's rearranging and screwing people up. And I was like, that's horrific potential. But that ain't what it's about either. So they keep it called Fenrir. And it's like, OK, all right, well. No. that's my call on it. It's this isn't good. Well, I feel to express why no. When you play a werewolf, I'm not even talking additions. When you play a werewolf, it's important that you feel powerful. It's important that you feel that this power is hard to contain. That it's something that you have to learn to control, and the older you get, the higher in rank you get, the easier it'll become, but the more responsibilities you're forced to handle with new power, new responsibility. And you kind of hold to that. But then you realize very quickly you need a pack to handle these challenges that are coming your way. And that's how it goes. You can't break that theme up. I don't care what edition. It's integral to what you are. Werewolves come in packs. Here's the thing. And if you have a cairn structure that is even remotely weak, and you're going to tell a story about that, well, then the players have to be put front and center. The players now have an issue to step in and reinforce this place to protect it, because that should still very much be who they are. To protect, to hold down, to reinforce, to be the cavalry, whatever it is. And maybe they leave that open on purpose, but I'm not going to do that, because they also don't lead you to say, oh, this is what this story is about.
Yeah.
Right.
Players rise into the challenge, you know, but I did get that they want to hammer home some pretty sophisticated plots that you don't normally see in a werewolf game.
Hmm. Do tell.
So let's take on this whole aspect that people leave and are jaded, but then they come home to betray from within. Right. They want to convert. And that's very much what a cult has to do. The cult. Trick three, not trick, but they entice three members to come over to their side. Indoctrination happens. Those three come over. They capture a guy at the door because they know he's too hardcore because they were there before. That dude ain't going to hear shit. He's a guardian. That's what he does. So they drag him off. Cue the music. They're going to clockwork orange him until he says yes. So we're going to pull him to the side. And that's that. Now the players are here and are catching wind of this mystery and are going through it. Fine. I get you. But now it's a thing where it's, well, who's the bad guy? Is the cult of Fenrir bad for wanting to force this cairn into action to be more aggressive, to be better? Because they're weak. That's why they're doing this. They're trying to recoup numbers because when they culled the area and called everybody together to deal with the threat before, nobody came. Nobody came. And so they got weakened. So now they're attacking a sept directly to gain strength to go back at whatever problem they had before. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that's unique. You can't just detect worm and kill it. That's not going to work. Although in my argument, yes, it would. Right. Is that not essentially the urge worm of corruption there, or a form of it? No. We got rid of the worm like that. Now it's more black and white and over. We haven't wrote that book yet, Bob. Back off. Okay. I'll back off. But it's evil. It's insidious at the very least. It's a level of cunning and sinister that would say that that's the enemy and undermines your well-being and what you're trying to do. So, yeah, you should do something about that. However, with all this gray, it's very much gray decision-based functionality. You do not give the players any sense that they are back. They don't feel back. They don't know what they're doing. They're going to play this scenario and it's just going to be, you're going to Gen Con and done it. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. That's been the Gen Con or any convention. You show up for the weekend, someone's going to give you a character sheet. The more pages of background on that character, the less you're going to remember. You're just going to focus on the points and have fun with your buddies, eat your nachos, drink your beers, move on to the next game because you're on sleep debt. You were up drinking the night before. You ate a lot of food. You're having a lot of fun. This is vacation. This is the type of vacation you need to go home and have an extra 3-4 days to recover before you go back to work. Because we're here to game, drink, and we're here to get crunk, full, and crazy. That's how it is. And have a good time and move on. That's yep. that. So this book is written for that. And it's not what I would say necessarily was its target. Because it tries to be smart. I hate being that offensive, but that's what I feel like. They were trying to tell me, we know Werewolf well. Look, we're W5. We know Werewolf well. Look what we wrote. And it's like, no, you don't. No, you don't. Because any Werewolf fan who's going to see this, the only people you're going to get are the people new to Werewolf who only know Werewolf 5th Edition. Because it's all they know. Because anybody who knows what it was previous, you lost them immediately in this book. Because there's so much stuff that they would want to try to do to improve the situation that just, I don't feel the scenario was built for it.
Yeah, man, I kind of got the impression that they were, that they thought they were maybe trying to let you lay the foundation right for your first home game. There's certain random paragraphs in there that say you may want to continue this story later. Some future plot points for the main characters to consider. But I guess similar to where you ended up, it was like, if I was born on this sept and I witnessed these actions, this is not a place that I would choose to live. My home game would start with me and whoever the rest of our party is going somewhere else to either just because you right. Well, like I looked at it from multiple ways. If I were some young aggressive type who was kind of Cult of Fenris curious, why don't I go with Black Lung? Right? Mm, why don't I go try to bring them back or whatever? If I am a pacifist who has like been very, very sure that like the Cult of Fenris is super duper wrong, but I've seen what taking that position did to my Cairn. How could I continue on that path? Right. What perspective could I start this scenario from and come out the other side wanting to stay with these people in this place? Especially with the lack of clarity on what they actually care about or what's driving them forward as a sept anyway. And
if I compile this, well, go ahead, DJ. Sorry,
I was about to say to kind of layer on. That's the same kind of thing because when you take a look at any kind of scenario that kind of gets brought out for a game, you're right. It is for a con game, but you have to at least get an idea of two things. One, definitely mechanics, because you want to be able to play with the mechanics to see what the game should turn out like to be. The other part of it is you want to feel what it is that you're playing because that's what sells. I don't feel the werewolf portion of it because it just sounds like I'm walking into a domestic violence situation where my family is all broken. I got to make a decision. Even if I make a decision, it's not going to be a good one. All right, I get it. We're adding the horror aspect of it or personal horror, whatever it is. But it doesn't feel like werewolf to me. And even the werewolves that are there are so down on their luck at one point. They're like, if you choose this aspect, most of them are probably going into Hirano and they're just going to walk away and be broken anyway. So it's like, fuck, well, I know I'm going to be in a fuck decision anyway. But I'm not getting anything. Like it doesn't explicitly let me feel what this edition should be bringing, even in a setting wide basis. I think that's my hang up with it as it's presented thus far.
I will say I think this edition fits very much in the parameters that they wrote Werewolf 5th Edition. It fits in the genre of what they said. That guy is done. She's gone, and this is the aftermath, and this is what's going on. But that's why I call this Werewolf the Drama. Right? There's Werewolf the Apocalypse. This is Werewolf the Drama. This is not even remotely entertaining to somebody who's looking to. It's just there was something cool about playing a pack, getting in and being involved in a spiritual war that was like a shadow war, that you had a responsibility to defend a turf that felt connected spiritually to other bases or other werewolves that had their politics that could go against your set, and you could have your rivalries and all that other stuff. And it's not to say that this couldn't have that, but I'm not seeing that it wants that. I'm seeing that this is where the totems are completely different. The world, Cairn is different, and Gaia is done and gone. And so all that spiritual support and strength stands out in stark contrast that maybe you couldn't see before. I know I certainly couldn't see it as strongly until we started reading this material. So let's highlight. What do I think needs to improve for this to work? How do we save a waning book or genre with this? Number one, more detailed NPCs with believable, protagonists with believable stories. Like, why are they this way? And it's one thing, like they kind of tell a story where there were problems at the Cairn for one reason or another, but a problem at the Cairn isn't a villain.
Mm-hmm.
You can be annoying at home and just your family deals with it. It happens all the time, but nobody hates you. They just wish you'd chill with that shit for a bit. You know, it's like, go for a walk or do something, get laid, whatever the hell your family's going to tell you, just relax, you know? And that's how it goes. But here, there's none of that. It's just like they left and good riddance, three bad eggs, and they come back. Oh, sorry, you were gone. Corruption. And it's like, okay. So when I realize it is corruption, do we bring out the knives now or later or whatever? Interesting aspects. There is a usage of a clave that I never thought I'd read that really kind of pissed me off. And I'll tell you that it's that a clave can change and modify claws.
Yeah. Yep. Like the Venom symbiote. Yeah.
Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Well, Bob, why does it annoy you? Well, I'll give it to why some people think it's cool. Finally, I don't have to hold this big clave in Kronos. Most of that artwork is badass because it's a Kronos werewolf holding a clave. It's badass for it. It's cool to look at them have that stuff
out. Didn't claves used to be made of silver? Is that so?
Yeah.
So your silver clave dissolved like mercury and coated your claws and some other parts of your body. Why is that not? Go ahead.
Well, it's a fetish, and it's supposed to be able to bond with the werewolf, so it goes with them in a shape change. That's the way all fetishes are, you know, that you bind them to you with a rite, and then that's that. Talisman dedication, and then you're good to go. And it could change and become a tattoo and activate. They did that, right? It's a clave tattoo, and when I need to activate it, and I have it. So why does it bother me? Well, because when it was a clave tattoo, it made sense. And this, you know, you can't get arrested walking around with a tattoo, but if you need it, you have it. But I enjoyed the fact that the clave symbolized something that the werewolves revered for war. Like this is a clave, and this clave is not necessarily meant to plunge into a worm minion. This is something we handled our duels with. We get serious when this is pulled off. It's almost a symbol of office. And if we got to, we'll deal with the worm with these preferably. And so dueling was a dangerous element that made werewolves feel the human side of what they are. And that's what it was there. That culture around that duel made that cool. And they called it Klaviskar. And this doesn't seem, it's just another weapon here. When it's written and it's like, well, okay, well, I see that you kept it. I see that you haven't. And now it just modifies your claws. But to me, it felt like a cheap way to get an advanced gift or some extra dice to do some ag. And I was like, that's not even cool. That's just whatever. Like, why'd you eat? Like, you know, you smear it. The honor has been besmirched, as I will call it. Okay, so that's a personal dig. But the NPCs, grow them. Give them a full story of their fall from grace, what their plan is, and have them come back all in one spot. Don't have us dig through a snare to read why they're doing what they're doing. Have that be there. Like, I remember back in the day, there was a book that had a little spot called Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And it allowed the ST to read what happened a little stupid in the future. If this scenario goes through as written, here's what happens to them. A little stupid gets written down there in their destiny, and that's that. And you're done. Okay. And you get to say as the ST, no, screw that. We're going to back this up. My players are never going to let this guy get here. They're going to stop him earlier, or he will get here with bonuses or with the player characters. But it gives an idea that you knew that the person who wrote this character, you see where they wanted it to go. And now we get to stand on the shoulders of giants here and make modifications that could be even cooler for the games we have. But without this being written, it's like you don't care. And I'm going to say that. If we're in an era of sensitivity, well, cool. Here's where my fees are hurt. Give a shit about what you put in print because I spent money on it.
Yep.
That's where I'm at. I spent money on it and you fucking entertained me when you put it in the book. When you failed to entertain me, you invite my critiquing. You invite my criticisms. It doesn't feel that you read the books. It doesn't feel that you get what it is to be a werewolf. It doesn't feel that you understand that we're the players coming in and we want to be important and we want to call to honor. We want honor to be something that we have to stand and prove, and glory is ours to obtain or botch. And we want to face these things that have a clear, defined enemy that we don't want to reveal that we're being undermined from within until it's far too late. We don't want that to be the focus. That seems weak sauce. And if that is going to be the focus, then rewrite the scenario to where we're coming to a troubled Garen and already have your guard up, because stuff has happened and things are in the works and whatever, and you're coming to investigate the whole total of it. And then slow reveal that, oh yeah, it's the cult of Fenris over here, and it's these three people are fueling whatever's going on. Oh no, bad spirits. Oh no, he's siphoning the Karen. Like, have things that matter more with dramatic buildup and impact. And I don't know, follow a critique book that for inspiration versus throwing it in a book and saying they'll buy anything. Because I won't buy anything. Instead, I'm just going to point out that, you know, it's worse than my heart is broken. It's more or less where I feel that you attempted to say they'll never catch you. And I'm saying you are blind as it gets. I'm gentle compared to what people have said about this book and will say about this book.
Yeah. I really couldn't get away from the sense that I don't know what the Garu believe in now. If there's one thing I could change, it's just somebody with a clear statement, vision.
And even then, we don't get that, because the one thing that caught me was there's Drog as one of the characters, right, that ends up being there. And the line that got me was, Drog has no qualms about leveraging deplorable, hateful, and prejudiced aspects of human society, like the white nationalist movement and neo-Nazis. Mm-hmm. His ideas weren't welcomed by everyone except Black Lung. That's why the two stuck together. But wasn't the whole point of the reason why at some point in time you got rid of the Cult of Fenris is because you just knew that your players weren't able to handle it, and they all saw them as like neo-Nazis anyway in the first place, and we already painted the bad picture? So we're doubling down on painting the bad picture of what they should be by sneakily just grabbing this guy and being like, here's some schmegma to pour on your face. Like, why does it have to be presented that way? Like, how, like, we were trying to get away from it in the first place. All right, you don't want to talk about it, let's not talk about it, and that could be something at one point you do. But like, you're being so overt by going like, you know what? Not only is he Cult of Fenris, but just to double down on the reason why, he also likes these things too, that we obviously think are bad, right? Or obviously we know they're bad in real life. But I just feel like it's too overt.
I mean, there's no subtlety with it. Subtly digging at the fact that they never accepted that the Cult of Fenris excised their Nazis, right? There's people who disagree that ever happened, even though I feel like it's pretty explicitly says in one or two different text, right, that camp was ejected.
You feel you could quote it. You can quote it in three books. You could quote it in three fucking books. The fact is people are wrong. They're wrong. We reviewed that shit. We targeted it to have a hot button to point out you did wrong. And it was like, no, it clearly states that they hated them and they killed them. They hunted them to extinction as an example to guard the gate against that sort of extremism. Oh, okay. The whole thing is messed up, man. Like, it's not going to ever, like, you got to look at this. I honestly did look at this as if the Get Offenders never existed. I did. So you can get behind the Cult Offender. And I said, okay, so tell me a cult. Tell me a Norse cult that just is all about going for Gaia, and they're going to get it done. And they're going to just how are they converting people, and how are we too polite and in the dark, and your hog loss is leading you to do what exactly? And I was looking to read about how the Sept is raided and people are taken and they're put through these rites, these brutal rites that force them to prove their strength or they die in the process. And the elders beseech the players to go and try to rescue somebody against a very violent and brutal group, that their hog loss is so extreme that they understand that it makes them tougher. That's the thing I don't think that they understand in writing. And I honestly think there's something I saw. It's David Goggins, right? I forget who it is, but he grabs some MMA star and he puts him through the Goggins experience, spends all day torturing him, as he calls it, smoking him, making him find his endurance breaking point and pushing him past it, waiting for this guy to quit and go home. All these stars that David Goggins has put through the Goggins experience has quit and walked off. done this, that, and the other thing. And you watched the little video and put him through it. And it was today as I'm, you know, taking breaks to read and finish the notes for the book. And I'm like, man, this is exactly what this book is. It's someone trying to justify that they went too far. That's what it is. And I'll tell you why. Because in this analogy, David Goggins to me is the company currently trying to write about Werewolf Fifth Edition that they're trying to spoon feed to people who are werewolf fans. And the problem they're having is that the werewolf fans this would be the MMA fighter. They came to Goggins and they're looking to be honed with some new technique and new stuff into a better fighter, a more focused, disciplined, well overall, capable of handling the extremes of being a fighter. And they said, okay, well, we're going to run for 20 miles today. And then the next day I'm going to smoke you from sunup to sundown. And you're going to do 10 sets of 50 jumping jacks, dropping down to 10 sets of 100 pushups until you puke. It pukes some more. Do the stair climber while I'm making videos till you vomit, because I'm an endurance athlete. And I sat there and said to myself, but if you're an MMA fan, fuck, if you're a boxer, if you were any sports athlete for combat sports or martial arts, you understand that endurance is only one piece, one tool that you need. It's one tool. So if you're so hyper-focused on endurance, and you could be the god of endurance, someone's going to do it smarter and better for you. Because they're going to realize, I only need to train for five-minute rounds. And really like a max of five. So if I just trained real hard, do the Goggins method for 5 minutes, for five times 5 minutes a day, is that not more beneficial to be explosive that whole time than me going 20 miles in one day? Because after I get done with this Goggins bullshit, I then should be having the energy to shadow box, punch drills, do ladders, to be able to work on my footwork, counter punch. Then I got to do my ground game, my grapple game, my submission game, my submission escapes. And then I got to eat right, and I got to recover right, and I got to sleep right. There's a lot of steps you got to do. It's not just one. And I feel in that analogy, in this, it is a mistake to be so one-dimensional when your audience is repeatedly telling you, we want a full, robust, more detailed experience. And for me, Werewolf Fifth Edition won't get a single dime from me going forward. Not on one thing. In fact, it's DJ. I know you're still a fan and you signed up for the long haul. I myself went through an extensive process, just cut loose and say, I'm not buying anything Werewolf Fifth Edition. Not because, Bob, you're not being open-minded about it. What are you going to do? You're reviewing Werewolf. No. And it has everything to do with this. I'm reviewing the Werewolf I enjoy. Right. And they already told me, hey, if you're expecting this other stuff, fuck off. This is our version. Okay. Your version can sit in a warehouse and collect dust, because your version is not the werewolf that anybody would enjoy. I don't know what you're trying to do. And it has a future. I'll tell you that it has a future if you knuckle down and realize it's a survival horror game in the making. If you make everybody werewolves and it starts from a player character perspective, think about it this way. If Werewolf Fifth Edition was just, you guys are a pack and Gaia died and the spirits no longer hold to their old packs or nothing like that because Gaia's dead, and it frees up a lot of contracts. And so now everything's the Wild Bunch again, and the Umber is the way they say it. There's no longer cairns, there's no holy sites because you can't defend them. They're now haunted areas or nexus or nexi or whatever you want to call them. Whatever special thing that lets you know they're spiritually there. Your sole job is to go there and you're mining ancient lore to figure out where Gaia was birthed. That's what you're trying to do, to try to kickstart and bring Gaia back in a world covered in hellish creatures and what the worm wants to do. And that would be far more entertaining of material than it would be to try to say, we've changed some things, but fundamentally, here you go, buy it again. Because what they're saying is, we want to put minimal effort in redoing it, and we hope you buy it, so that we can fund our next project that isn't going to be this stuff at all.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, let it die. Because you got me in Vampire 5th Edition, mainly because I've already bought all the stuff for it. You got me there. And it's not that I hate it. It's that at least I could say, this is for the youth. and it's minor. And honestly, we don't even use it that often. But it's something that was like cool, fun to review, and I actually feel a loyalty to one of the creators who came on our podcast and told us how he got screwed. And so, you know, we didn't get to see the full vision because he didn't get to stay around. And because of that, it's like, oh man, that sucks. But why did I buy it? Well, I have it all, and I know a lot of people want to find fun and usage in that, and I'll help with that. But when it comes to World 5th Edition, oh boy. When the books come up, as you gentlemen have them, we'll still like go into them if I have access to them. But my $45, my $50 a pop, my $60 is not going to contribute to their sales. It's just not worth it.
Hear you on that.
So this book, anything positive? No, not really. I will say for once, I don't like this book. But I mean, don't like it. I'm saying this, don't buy it. I really think if you buy it, you're kind of desperate. I'm not doing it to insult you, but you're looking for new and you're hoping it's in here. And it's new because it's Werewolf 5th. But you are better off and better served writing your own scenarios off of that base book than taking this book and saying, now I can run a game and see what it's like. Because I really feel, not because the author did bad in the amount that they have in here, but there isn't enough to hammer home the points to take you in the directions to flesh out all the things that they lead you to believe are in Werewolf 5th Edition, that base book you have. So that's my take on it. What about you two?
I have rarely been made genuinely sad by a game book. But this is that. I can't think of anything redeeming either. No, nothing I would use here. Nothing I would try to salvage. Nah.
Right. If anything, it's a footnote for like where it started and hopefully where it could go. But nothing. I would probably say it rates just as around the rate of like Rage Across the Heavens, where it's like, but why?
but why? For stuff to consider. We're not trying to draw people to hate us. Just it's opinions. All of us have them. And for those fans of Werewolf 5th Edition didn't see a problem, and you like Werewolf 5th Edition, but you don't know the old stuff, continue. This is here. Enjoy it. I'm glad you do. But to me, this is amateur hour. This is slapstick. You're settling for low hanging fruit. It just doesn't capture the elements of some of the other stuff that you would hoped it would. And that's all that need be said about that. With that, the hits keep on hitting. Our next book. Is it Bloodstained Love? Tears?
Loving
Bloodstained Stinky Tears?
Blood Love Loving Crying at the Bar. Bloodstained
Love, I think it was. Or yeah, then we also have the Croatan song. Yeah.
What's that? No, I promised Croatan song, and Croatan song is great. I did say that. I keep saying that actually. Now I think it's kind of fun to say that every time. We will figure it out. We'll get that going. But I know that V5 has one coming out, and it's January is when it's released, right? DJ was at the data.
Correct.
But I think you can get the PDF now, can't you?
I will take a look at it, but we'll find out soon enough, folks. We'll let you know as soon as we get to it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But when we do, we will, because it's all about love, which I'm saying this now. My personal feelings will be told to you so that you can chuck whatever I say to the side, which I'm pretty sure most of you do anyway. And you can hear about what's in the book as we go through it with my mewling, dying self in the background.
To be clear, Croydon song is coming next because there's no way it'll take us 6 weeks to get the Croydon song, right? Did I hear that correctly?
That's correct. There's no way. Like Croydon song, we've been beating it up, but we've always said if a new release comes out that's current, we're going to drive to that first. The timing's been that pretty heavily. So,
all right. Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. But we'll get to it. We'll get to it. The train keeps going. It stops.
You all can't be bangers.
Right? Truth. Thanks, guys. I apologize about the downturn for this book, but you know what? It happens. It's what, 1 in 6 years?
Sure.
About
something like that, something weird, but whatever. All right, talk to you later. Thanks, everybody.
Take it easy, folks.
Thank you for listening to our 25 years of Vampire the Masquerade podcast. If you liked what you heard, please reach out and let us know on Twitter at 25 years of VTM, at our email, info@25yearsvtm.com, on Facebook at www.facebook.com/25yearsvtm, or on our website, www.25yearsvtm.com. If you would like to support us, we can be found at patreon.com/25yearsofvampirethemasquerade.